Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
Breaking news tonight. Did a precious, beautiful little boy, just 10 years old, take his own life? Kill himself after horribly cruel school bullies relentlessly mock his glasses and his teeth? At this hour, criminal charges against those school bullies are being investigated. So why did the school do nothing? I want answers now. Good evening. I'm Nancy Grace. This is Crime Stories. Thank you for being with us.
Hundreds of mourners fill the pews at Brandywine Church to remember Sammy Teusch. The Iron Sharpens Iron Motorcycle Ministry volunteers to escort Teusch's casket to the cemetery. More than 100 bikers head the procession. Community members and classmates cry, hug each other, and lay flowers on Sammy's casket at the burial.
When I look at Sammy, I think of Opie. Andy of Mayberry, look at this little angel, completely scrubbed in sunshine. You were just hearing our friends at Crime Online describing a motorcade for his funeral. So full of life and joy. You can just see the energy. He's gone. He's gone because of school bullies. Joining me, an all-star panel to understand what is happening and frankly why the school did nothing. Of course, they claim that's not true, but I think that it is. Joining me right now, special guest is Sammy's father, Sam Teusch. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you for having me, Nancy. I really appreciate you letting us use your platform to get this word out. There's nothing we're going to do to bring Sammy back, but we need a voice.
Mr. Teusch, I've said this before. As a crime victim myself, after my fiance was murdered, I thought I knew it all about grief and mourning and trying to go through hell and come out on the other end to do something positive with my life. You know what? I knew nothing. Nothing. Zero. Because now that I have my two children, I don't think there's anything that could compare to losing your child. What happened that day?
I really wish I knew. I've replayed it in my head a million times. You know, we got up Sunday morning and I was making eggs for the kids, and Sammy and Xander wanted pancakes, and I didn't have enough left from Saturday morning, so I ran over to Dollar General to get pancakes. And I mean, I was probably gone 5, 6, 7 minutes, and I got back, and as soon as I got back, I opened up the package, I'm dumping it in. Nikki had told Xander to go get Sammy because it was his grandma's birthday, and she wanted to call him and have all the kids say happy birthday. And then I heard Xander scream, and I ran upstairs and found Sammy, and I started CPR, and I held him in my arms, and I opened his eyes, and I breathed into him, and I was on the phone with 911 instantly. Before I even made it to his bedroom, I was on the phone with 911. I don't know how long after that, somebody bust by me in my house upstairs, and they said, I'm a fireman, I'm your neighbor, I heard this on the scanner. And he started working on Sammy as the ambulances started pulling up, and the firemen and police, and you know, it wasn't a special morning. There was nothing going on. You know, I had just seen him. He was laying in bed with Nikki. He was snuggling with his mom. I don't know. I keep a million times if I would have just got home, said, Mom, I got your pancakes, you know, come on. It's all been if I wish I could have, I should have, I didn't, you know. I mean, it's been a million different things, and it hasn't stopped. You know, I don't know. And then, you know, come to find out later, we had his phone. So we didn't have to worry about anything, you know. It was another kid's phone that this kid was calling and FaceTiming and kept saying stuff to Sammy about, you know, wait until you get to school on Monday. You know, you're really going to get it. And I didn't know that until after Xander had actually taken Sammy out of the room and downstairs. So they sat there and played Roblox and then fell asleep on the couch downstairs. And I wish I had an answer for you. I wish I had an answer for me.
You know, I do the same thing even now. I replay everything that happened leading up to Keith's murder. The weekend before, the morning of, that day.
The day before, we had soccer games. In the morning, the twins had soccer game. And then we went into Indianapolis, and there's a place called Penn's down there that they got a bunch of games in. So we went there and played ping pong and ring toss and, you know, all kinds of other stuff, pinball, and had a great day, you know. And then we got home and cooked on the grill. It was real late. It was like 9:30, 10 o'clock, and we barbecued hot dogs on the grill and then roasted marshmallows. And Sammy roasted marshmallows for Nikki. You know, I nothing extraordinary stands out that it was, you know, because that's what we do all the time. We always do family.
I think that is why everybody, including me, and I don't believe I'm afraid of anything except something happening to my twins. And that is why what you're saying is so scary. It's scary because everything we thought was fine, but everything's fine at home. You're grilling out. You're spending so much time with your children, you and Nicole. Your universe. But what happens at school? And when I found out, Mr. Toysh, that people, school bullies, were making fun of Sammy's glasses and his teeth, I don't think my brother will mind me telling this, but when he was little, all the way until he got his braces off, which was into high school, everyone, not us, but I didn't know this till years later, called him Horse Face Grace. He was a little boy, little boy. He had buck teeth. And my parents had to take out a payment plan. Remember the coupons that you'd fill out the coupon to pay the loan and send in the check? They did that for my brother to, you know, get his teeth straight. And they had nothing, no money, but they did. The relentless bullying, I never knew about it. They must have known, Mr. Toysh. I mean, who are these children?
Well, the biggest thing is, like, as you can imagine, I mean, you know that when you put something on social media or anything else, that there's, you got to expect crap from both sides. So while the outpouring of love and support has been great, I have also gotten horrible, horrible messages about how this is our fault, we're doing this for monetary gain.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
What is wrong with people? Now, do you see what's happening, Mr. Toysh? They are trying to do to you and Nicole what was done to Sammy. Bullying, trolling, hateful.
The one we got yesterday said, Well, the kid did need braces. You should have taken him and got braces. And the fact of the matter is, he still has baby teeth.
You can't get braces that early.
You can't get braces. And like I told Sammy, you got adult teeth coming in your little head, and here pretty soon your head's going to equal out and everything's going to be in place where it needs to be. You're beautiful. You know, there's nothing wrong with you. Even after he got the glasses, and it was wonderful that day because Sammy loved the outdoors. And when he first put those on and when we went outside, he didn't know that the world was supposed to look the way it was, you know, and the way flowers looked and grass and animals running by and everything. He was fascinated. It was like he was seeing it for the first time, and he absolutely loved them. And then that next day, getting off the bus, you know, I was standing at the end of my driveway and I watched him get off the bus two doors down, and I could see as soon as he got off, he had those glasses clenched in his fist and he was crying. And he said, I'm never wearing these stupid things again. They're, you know, it just gave him added ammunition. I called the school, you know, and I'm, oh, Mr. Toysh, we we're handling this and we're making sure that stuff like this stops. And I took for granted that they were. You know, I thought they were up until I seen the thing from the school corporation that said there have been no reports of bullying being made. And then it's like, wait a minute. You're calling me a liar that I didn't sit here right in this chair that I'm sitting in right now and hold Sammy. I don't know how many times while he cried, trying to explain to him, you know, the unfortunate part of being a human being. You know, there's people out there who do not care what you got going on at home, do not care what anything else. They're here to persecute and they're here to punish. And a lot of times it's because they come from an awful, terrible place. And that's a discussion that I had with Sammy about how you don't know where these kids come from. You don't know the awfulness that they're facing at home. Not most, but a lot of kids don't have mommy and daddy to come home to and cry on. And he thought about things like that. And then he also thought about the fact that if he fights back, he's the aggressor. He's got to be scared of getting in trouble at school for defending himself. Where, as Americans, we should, no matter what your age is, you should be able to defend yourself without fear of repercussion. It's terrible. And it's the same with the friends, you know. His friends couldn't help him.
I hear you saying that these bullies may come from a bad place, as you put it, maybe not the best home. But that is no excuse for what they did. And there is no excuse.
I feel terrible for all of them.
There is no excuse for the school now saying they were never warned about the bullies. I know for a fact you told them and you asked for help. They are claiming they knew nothing. And they keep talking about all their grief. And they're outpouring of grief. Now, they are saying that they have worked with you guys over the last months. But did that ever happen?
They've talked to us several times. I mean, that's what he's talking about. You know, I mean, they're just pushing the buck.
Did they do anything to help?
No. No, even the time when he got smacked in the face with his iPad on the bus, you know, he got kicked off the bus for that. They said at that point in time, police would be contacted. This is assault. I don't know for sure if that happened or not. I'm sure that that'll come out in this, but, you know, the one guy that watched the video said, this is the worst video I've ever seen.
Joining me in All-Star panel, but special guest, Sammy's father is with us, Sam Toysh. Mr. Toysh, you mentioned that there was a video which was, as you said, horrible. What was the video? On the school bus, correct?
Yeah, but I was never allowed to see it. I still haven't seen it. I don't know at this point if I want to see it. I mean, if you know.
What did it depict?
It depicts Sammy getting hit. Not just hit, attacked. You know, they told me that police were going to be contacted about this, that, you know, someone will be held accountable for this.
And it never happened.
I do not know that answer.
Is that when Sammy was hit with the iPad?
Yes.
What did he look like when he got off of the bus?
He had a cut by his eyebrow, which is where his glasses had broke, like right here underneath his ear holders or whatever. So that had pushed into his face, knocked his lens out. It was his right eye. So, you know, I do have pictures of that.
You know, to Stacey Honowitz joining me, Assistant State's Attorney, Child Abuse Unit, author of The Bully at School, Really Uncool. Stacey, thank you for being with us. You know, Stacey, after covering so many cases about bullies where the victim, actually the child victim, actually commit suicide, I was so worried. Do you know, not one time from pre-K to 10th grade, as of right now, pre-K to 10th grade, did I ever let the twins ride a bus. I rode a bus. Everybody I know rides, their children ride the bus because we think it's safe. It's supposed to be safe. It's not. And the abuse only continued once Sammy got to school, Stacey. And I know the school is saying they did everything right. BS, I don't believe it.
Well, I mean, I've seen many cases where things have happened at the school and the school later on goes on to say we weren't unaware of it. Now, certainly they were aware of it. And the schools know that if somebody calls in about a bullying situation, any kind of criminal situation, any kind of situation that involves their child, there are notes that have to be taken. There are records that have to be kept. There are outside sources that have to be called, such as the police. And certainly if the police were contacted with regard to this, there would have been a statement from dad, from the child. Something would have happened. I hate to say, but I think lots of times when things happen at school, especially on the school bus, that's really low down on the chain as to being investigated. Where was the bus driver? Why didn't the bus driver make a statement?
I'm telling you something else, Stacey. When this, if the school is wrong, and I have reason to believe they are, when they're saying, well, we did everything right, all of these defenses, if they intimate Sammy's mother and father are lying, then they're looking at a big fat defamation lawsuit.
Yeah, I think they have a couple of suits now. If that's the case, then defamation, certainly a failure to protect. There's a failure to protect. There's a neglect. There are several things that go along with situations like this. They are rare, but certainly once you pull those records, once you see if calls were made, once you pull the video, once you talk to the bus driver, all of these factors are going to come to light.
From what we understand, Sammy's parents tried everything. Listen.
After Sammy Toish's death, Greenfield Central Community Schools denied that any reports of bullying had been made. But Sammy's family says Greenfield Intermediate was well aware of the problem. Sam and Nicole Toish, who works at the school, called 20 times to raise concerns. They also received several calls. Teachers reported that Sammy was fearful at school and would hide under his desk and in closets. Several other families have come forward with reports of bullying. One mom claiming she found her 11-year-old son's detailed plans to end his life due to the torment.
Joining me, in addition to Sammy's father, Sam Toish, is his brother, Tyler. Tyler, I can't even imagine what you're going through to think of your little brother hiding under a desk and in closets at school to escape bullies.
It is not something I ever imagined to happen or imagined was happening. You know, I knew slightly about what was happening from my parents my mom and her husband, but didn't really know the full extent until after this had happened. And it's just been, I can't even describe what it's been like, you know, since everything has happened. It's really hard on us all, and it's especially hard to see your family hurting over this, as well as having that same pain and that same grief.
You know what's curious? A lot of people don't understand it. I do understand it, having dealt with so many crime victims. Actually, I don't understand it, but I accept it. I accept that this is true, that a victim can be suffering so much, but they don't tell mom and dad. They don't talk about it as much at home. They try to just suck it up and keep going. Did Sammy ever let on what was happening at school? I mean, this little boy's hiding under desks at school. What teacher didn't see that and fix it? He's hiding in closets at school, and nobody's doing anything to protect him, Tyler?
I know he had spoken, you know, quite often with my mom and her husband about that. When I spoke to, and that's where I'm getting my information from them. So as a big brother, you know, you want to give him that support and give him that room to talk. But I think for me, you know, we used to talk every day, almost, at least text, or, you know, he'd call me and video chat. And it was more so, I think, just an escape for him to just kind of not have to think about it. And, you know, I always tried to make him laugh, and we'd have a lot of fun. And I still keep looking at my phone, hoping he's going to call.
He's just absolutely gorgeous, this boy. I don't understand why this happened. The relentless bullying, the mocking of this little boy until he takes his own life. Dad rushes back from getting supplies to make pancakes, runs up the steps. Little Sammy's still warm to the touch. He tries everything. Sammy is gone. Instead of preparing to celebrate the summer, they had to have a funeral for their 10-year-old little boy. I don't understand it. At this hour, we are learning that an investigation is taking place. Will Sammy Toysh's bullies actually face criminal charges, as they should? He wasn't fighting back. He was beaten with his own iPad on the school bus. And it went on and on and on. Sammy's dad, Sam, with us. Mr. Toysh, did you have any idea? Did any teacher reach out and say, Sammy's hiding under the desk at school? He's hiding. I'm going to try to help you. Did anybody do anything?
They always pampered. They always said, yes, we're taking care of this. This will stop happening. It isn't going to happen again. You know, they didn't do anything.
You know how many other parents are out there that dread sending their children to school?
Absolutely do.
My son had a bully. My daughter had a girl bully, and I would just die in the mornings when I would drop them off. I would tell them everything you're supposed to know about bullies. I'd follow the book. I listened to Stacey Honowitz. I did it all. The bullies didn't stop. Until finally, guess what? The bully punched my son in the stomach, and I had a march on the school. And do you know how many other parents showed up that the same bully had choked, handled, cursed at their children? There were so many, they couldn't even fit in the conference room. I had no idea. What was happening? And my son begged me, don't say anything, Mom, for years. Until finally, going into year three, and he got punched in the stomach, all H-E-double-L broke loose. I can tell you that. What would Sammy say when he would come home, Mr. Toysh?
I don't know what to do about it. I don't want to be in trouble. I don't want to, because I had went from telling him, turn the other cheek, which was, you know, that's how we teach these kids. We don't teach them to hate people. To telling him, you know, you're going to have to do something. And his thing with, you know, because he was a good student, so he didn't want to be in trouble at school. And he was getting in trouble at school for that. You know, they were actually forming him into a behavior case, you know. And the more I look back on it now, it would always redirect onto how, well, you know, you need to hold Sammy accountable for his actions. And I'm like, man, I'm not holding him accountable for being picked on. I'm going to come. This is his safe place. This is where he knows that he can be loved and secured, and nothing's going to happen to him here.
Well, I think the school bus video shows it all. The fact that he was not the aggressor at all.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
Lauren Conlon, investigative journalist joining us, who's been on the case from the beginning. Lauren, thank you for being with us. What can you tell me about reports that are happening as of right now that there is a criminal investigation going on? And another thing, FYI, newsflash, corporations like schools can be criminally held responsible. It's hard to do. It's very hard to do, but it can be done. Oh, yes, it can. And if they keep putting it out there that Sammy's dad or mom never warned them, they're looking at a big fat lawsuit for defamation, suggesting that the Toishes are lying, because I will stake my life on it. The Toishes are not lying. They did contact the school. What do you know about these alleged charges?
Well, I'm sorry. My eyes are watering. I'm just so incredibly sorry here. But I do want to point out, unfortunately, last year, last March, about 3 hours away in Covington, Indiana, another young boy, a 13-year-old, also died by suicide because of bullying. He actually made a video naming his bullies. And at this point, the Indiana General Assembly sprang into action, and they actually were able to pass a bill. This is House Bill 1483 in regards to bullying. And so what this bill states, and this is a law, is that if bullying report is made to the school, each set of parents, the child being bullied and the alleged perpetrator, they have to be notified within 5 days. And then action items need to be set. There needs to be action items on the table for both families to agree to. And at one point, it was able for this law for the children to actually change schools. So I believe that this is what's happening right now. There is an investigation. They are possibly looking into phone calls, emails, and I believe that this school may end up being in deep trouble.
Joining you right now, in addition to Sammy's father joining us, Sam Toish, who is just living through a hell. Won't you help us speak out? Won't you help us speak out against bullying, against what's happening to our children at school? Regarding this case, Greenfield PD, 317-477-4410. Repeat, 317-477-4410. Joining me right now is, in addition to Sammy's dad, McKenna's father is joining us, along with Sammy's brother, Tyler. Hunter Brown, thank you so much for being with us. And any words of wisdom you have for Sammy's dad? We're all ears. You did everything right, you and your wife, everything right. But then a parent's worst nightmare comes true. Mr. Brown, I'm thinking about 10-year-old Sammy, who was seemingly defenseless. Well, he was defenseless against a gang of bullies. McKenna seemed as if she had everything, the world at the tip of her fingers, just beautiful, smart, the star athlete. But even McKenna became prey to bullies.
McKenna's bullying happened really quickly. It started basically on a Wednesday, and she took her own life Sunday morning. It happened very fast for us. We didn't have time to really get in front of it or adjust. Basically, my wife found out the day and a half before I found out the day after. You know, the social media aspect of it, and it happened days before she was supposed to start her senior year. She'd had an episode of bullying her freshman year, and nobody knew better than McKenna that you couldn't outrun social media or the internet. And I think, you know, just that dread of her senior year starting over the way that her freshman year began was too much for her.
To Mr. Brown, joining us, Dad of McKenna Brown, what were those days and nights like immediately after McKenna's suicide? How did you get through?
You know, I grew up in a different era. That kind of stuff was just kept very quiet. You didn't really talk about it. You didn't discuss it. It happened, but it wasn't really in the paper. It might have been just a little blurb that was on page 9 or whatever. And we agreed that, you know, Cheryl and I got together and we talked and we said that we would focus on, you know, McKenna had a special needs sister and she has a brother who currently plays hockey at NCAA D3 up in New Hampshire. And we agreed that we would focus on those two, you know, not really do basically what I'm doing now, that, you know, we would focus on our family and what we had left and just try and push through it. And then very quickly when we found out what had happened to McKenna, because we didn't realize until some friends that had received the text or phone calls or saw Instagram or TikTok came forward what had really happened. And very quickly we realized that, no, that this couldn't be kept silent, that we needed to get out in front of it. And, you know, some media called the Lightning High School, Tampa Bay Lightning run the high school, local high school hockey league. They called, they had concerns. So we got out in front of it really quickly. And, you know, I mean, that would be my advice to Sammy, you know, Sam would be that, you know, there's a large group of us. We're no longer silent. We've become vocal. We've become active. And unfortunately, the group just continues to grow.
Were charges ever brought against McKenna's bullies?
No. So interestingly enough, I dug through, did a little bit of research in that. In Indiana, similar political environment to that in Florida, they have a similar bullying law. The bullying law is really tied up in the education code. And what it does is it sets parameters for how the school system has to react, some steps they have to take, defines bullying, that sort of stuff. Bullying really in Florida, and as far as I can tell in Indiana, as the Pinellas County Sheriff's Office let me know, is not a crime. Charges were never brought. Law enforcement is very reluctant to get active in this space. You know, there's several names that come to mind. Rebecca Sedgwick. I forget the girl's name in the panhandle. Charges were brought in both those cases. They were very much more egregious and longer drawn out.
Following up on what Hunter just told us, McKenna's dad, Karen Stark joining me, renowned psychologist, TV and radio trauma expert. Karen, that just leaves the parents with even more feelings of helplessness because there are laws on the book to investigate criminally and charge bullies, but it won't happen. It's not happening, Karen. Please help Sammy's dad.
I am so sorry. And your feelings of hopelessness and helplessness, think of that. That's exactly what was happening to Sammy, that Sammy felt like he had nowhere to turn. And neither did your daughter, the other daughter who killed herself. And I want you to know, Nancy, that people, children who are cyberbullied are 4 times more likely to commit suicide. That it is that rampant and awful and a problem that's happening right now. And please do not go over what you should have done, could have done. I know you do it, Nancy. It's a normal reaction, but there is absolutely nothing that you could have done. It's the school. Those students should have been taken care of, removed. He was there to be helped and protected. Not to feel like he had to hide in the closet. Think about that situation. It's so dreadful, unnecessary, not okay.
Mr. Toish, Tyler, Hunter, and all of our guests, there just doesn't seem a way through this. But there is a way, Mr. Toish. Tell me your message tonight.
Well, I've said before, I don't want to turn the TV on and see more crying parents. It's wrong. We do need a place to turn, and we need somebody to fight. Someone that I don't even know started a petition on change.org for Sammy's bullying act. This is something that needs to be done at the federal level to make sure the states are held accountable for the laws that they do put into place. Something needs to be done at that level to ensure a change. You know, all these kids, all of them feel like they have no way to fight back. They're going to be in trouble if they do something. You know, I mean, you have to be able to protect yourself. And if you feel like there is no way you're going to protect yourself, this is, I guess, I, you know, and like, I don't even know how Sammy would know anything about any of this. You know, it just, he was a beautiful child who loved being a kid. He was a kid. I don't know how, you know, that's one thing that I'm hoping to gain with Hunter and the other parents that this has happened to. You know, how can we actually stop this? There's no hope. It's just like to me, them releasing their statement, you know, they never came here and told us how sorry they are. They never reached out to say, I feel your pain. We're here for you. It was just instantly, well, we didn't know anything about it. It's obviously got to be the parents' fault, something at home. You know, they never reported this to us. And then they're just allowed to lie because there's no documentation, you know.
If you called them from your cell phone ever, even once, there's documentation. And as far as charges go, I want to see that school bus video, because I guarantee you Sammy was not the aggressor. That was a culmination of years of bullying. And you mentioned at the get-go where your son had gotten a text or a message of some sort saying, just wait till Monday, you're going to get it. There are ways to prove this case. I am not going to rest until there are charges against these bullies, because until charges are brought, bullies and the pain and misery they cause is all going to be swept under the rug, and children like Sammy will continue to suffer. Some people that are maybe more cunning or evil than the rest of us, they won't stop until we make them stop, until we make their parents acknowledge what their children are doing at school. Sammy is gone, and his family has a life sentence of living without him. But by God, we can make a difference, and we will make a difference. Please join us. And if you or your child is suffering and having thoughts of suicide, please dial or chat toll-free 988, a universal suicide hotline, when you don't know what else to do. And please visit Sammy's Bullying Act on change.org to make a difference. For now, we can pray for Sammy's family. We can pray for McKenna's family. And also, we can fight. Thank you for being with us tonight. Our prayers go on. Good night, friend.